hearing from people out there, working people who are on the front lines, who deal with the consequences of the virus, who are facing the challenges ahead and still trying to maintain a positive vibe and a positive attitude, despite some pretty daunting statistics and news stories that we're hit with every day. I'm talking with Dave Foley, who's helping me take your calls. The phone lines are pretty full. We'll be right back with more of Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. Dave Foley has joined me. We're taking calls. We're going to go to the first-time caller line, Jeffrey in Florida. Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing?
Welcome to Coast. So what's your story? What do you do out there?
Well, I've been a truck driver for 12 years. And I think the major issue right now, and it's not just for truck drivers, but and thank you very much for mentioning truck drivers, because a lot of times online, we don't get much. The issue right now is personal safety equipment, just masks. It's not that we have come to a shortage, it's that we're here. There is a shortage, so you can't find masks anywhere. I happen to have two surgical masks from flu season, and that's what I've been using, but those are only really supposed to be good for 24 hours at most. And so I've been doing pretty much what I've heard the nurses are doing, bleaching them and just reusing them. As far as gas, fuel pumps, I carry a container of bleach water with me and with a washcloth, and I just wash off handles, and I have dishwashing gloves that I take everywhere I go, and I just wash my gloves as I go. Just trying, help cut down on the risk. Right now I'm traveling through Florida on my way back to my home in Valdosta, Georgia, and I was in Cocoa Beach today, and I saw, no social distancing whatsoever, just people acting like there's nothing going on. And it's scary. It's scary that people aren't taking it more seriously.
Well, they will eventually, one way or another. Jeff, I appreciate you calling in. We do take truck drivers for granted, and teachers and grocery store employees. And it's Dave, at this time, after these events, you realize those are low paid jobs, often with no benefits, and how critical they are to everything that we do.
Definitely. Well, my brother is a truck driver in Southern Ontario. And it's especially right now where we're really dependent. It's actually a life or death situation right now that truck drivers are really needed to get supplies around. I'm wondering if he's still on the line, but you mentioned that people in Cocoa Beach just acting like nothing is wrong. But I was wondering in general just what the highways feel like right now, what the countryside feels like when you get out of the cities.
I think he's gone. But you know what? We've got another driver.
Yeah.
We got another driver on a different line, on the international line, Rob in Vancouver. Rob, welcome to the program. You're talking with Dave Foley, and he was asking a question about what it's like on the roads out there.
Hey, I have the absolute pleasure of being a food delivery driver with all those companies like Uber Food and DoorDash and Skip and jump between the companies depending how business levels are. And Vancouver was kind of odd in that a lot of people I talked to, we think that the flu already came through the city in January. Like talking to people I know and everybody, everyone had this brutal, brutal flu. And Canada's policy, or Vancouver's policy was, well, we're not going to bother testing because if you have the flu, just go home. And we're going to treat it like the flu. There's nothing else. And it was a unique flu. And everyone never felt, this is totally different than anything we've ever had. So people are kind of nonchalant a little bit about it. And although they closed everything, everyone's out enjoying the seawall and the beautiful weather. But the one thing I did want to say is we have a kind of a sketchy area of the city. A lot of drugs, a lot of homeless people. It's very unfortunate. But driving around, what I'm starting to notice is, the business core is gone. So the panhandlers you know, they're getting more aggressive. And I've seen, you know, these guys, you know, year after year. And they all keep saying to me, they're like, man, there's just no one around. Right? Like, I there's nobody. You know, they're not getting that $10 a day, you know, that they normally would. And then down in kind of the heart of, you know, where the drug use is, you're starting to, things are, there's more and more people on the streets. You're feeling tension. You're seeing fights break out where that never happened. Mm-hmm. You know, the police cruisers are cruising up and down, you know, talking over their loudspeakers, you know, like everybody move out. So they can't get those people off the street. There's just thousands of them, right? Mm-hmm. So I just want to say to people, like, be careful out there. Unfortunately, not everyone has a support system, right? And as time goes on, things are, I think some people are going to get more and more desperate, right?
Yeah. Well, the neighborhood you're talking about, that was an area where the city deliberately kind of concentrated all of the hardcore drug addicts and dealers into a very small neighborhood that was basically an area where the cops were going to lay back, right?
Absolutely, yes. And it's expanded exponentially. Like now, it was initially a block or two blocks. Now it's five, six, you know, blocks and maybe three blocks wide. And they've taken over a couple of the parks in the area. So, you know, each park.
I got to say, George, it's an area like no other place in Canada. You know, it reminds me more of some of the worst parts of, like, of New York City from back in the early 80s. And it is, but I'm wondering, especially now, are there, the facilities and the infrastructure for trying to take care of those people, I'm going to guess, is not fully staffed right now, too.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. They are pulling staff back. And just you were talking about delivery drivers, they do now in a lot of areas in Vancouver, they're double staffing two drivers on UPS, on FedEx trucks. Because literally, you walk out and you got guys, they're right behind them trying to break into the truck and take parcels.
Yeah.
I've seen it with my own eyes. So it's just falling apart there. And it literally looks like out of a movie, that Escape from New York, right? People lighting fires. They don't have wood. They're using sweaters and clothes, right, to light fires to stay warm. Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Rob, one other question. No. As you get to the door and you're delivering food, how are people tense? Are they, are the anxious situations?
Yes. So it's really strange because you have these, you know, really nice high-end condos, and then you have this homelessness on the street. And as soon as I get out, you know, people notice me and they're like, hey, what do you got? People asking me for money, you know, cigarettes. They're like, come on, you got to have something. And 4 days ago, I had my car, the window got smashed, and they stole the food that was in the car. And I literally took not even a minute to go into the building and come back to the vehicle. And then when I got there, of course, no one knows anything, right? But they literally smashed and took the food service bag out and took the rest of the food that was there.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, I can imagine the people that basically survive off of handouts are going to start really suffering and feel desperate when there's nobody on the streets to give handouts.
Rob, thank you for that call. Yeah, you got to figure, you know, the homeless population in our country has sort of exploded over the last couple of years. And even in the best of times, we'd rather just ignore it and wish them to go away. And wow, it's I can't imagine what it's like when it starts spreading in that community on the streets where they really have no access to services. It's going to be bad.
No, and it's, people aren't, you know, a lot of people who aren't known for taking care of themselves from a health point of view. You know, especially when you're dealing with drug addiction and mental illness, and there's just, you know, not a lot of ways for them to keep away from each other.
We're going to go east of the Rockies, William in Pennsylvania, who is trucking some onions. I guess he's maybe it's in Pennsylvania or New York. Hey, William, how you doing?
Hey there, George. I'm in Pennsylvania. I actually pulled over for my half-hour break.
just so I don't run out of signal while I'm holding on the line for you. And I'm hauling 43,500 pounds worth of onions out to Goshen, New York.
Well, we appreciate you doing the job, and you're on with Dave Foley. And Dave was wondering what it's like out there on the highways. Dave?
Yeah, like when you get out of the cities, what's the feeling out there? Because I think we're all experiencing what it's like to see the city streets empty. But is it the same sort of odd, surreal feeling when you get out of the cities?
Well, it really all depends on what part of the country you're in. I just came across from Olympia, Oregon, where I picked up this load, straight across the north, across the Rockies, across Vail Pass and through Kansas, Colorado, all through there. And in between the cities, actually, mostly, things aren't all that much different. I have that coming across the West. I'm not seeing a whole, people aren't really taking this horribly, horribly seriously. It's not a whole, you're hearing about a lot of fear out there, but I'm not seeing it. I'm seeing kids out, teenagers out, hanging out, skateboarding, riding their bikes around each other, no real separation at all. And now, mind you, once I got into Ohio, it started to lighten up, but then again, they have the police shutting everything down in Ohio and Pennsylvania as well. So the truck stops were about the only place where you've got really any kind of gathering sort of people. And even that, I can't sit down and have a meal. I got to grab a meal and leave or just cook for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, appreciate the call. You be safe out there. Thanks. We're going to try to get one more call in. Well, maybe two. We're going to go west of the Rockies, Ken in Kingman, Arizona. Hi, Ken.
Hi, guys. I just thought I'd just want to bring this point up, and we has touched this. It'd be an excellent time to network with your neighbors and share information and resources and have a heightened security, because as the situation goes on, there's going to be more assaults, home invasions, and vandalism going on. And I've already talked to my neighbors about that, and we live in a fairly nice neighborhood. And I live in Arizona, where we have the right to carry. And I, first time in my life, I've ever been in a gun shop here that all the bullets were bought in the store. Every single round in the store was gone.
Yeah, that's true here, too, as well. You know, and guns have been sold out, ammo sold out. You know that some people are just preparing to protect their homes, but others might have other things in mind. It's spooky.
Yeah.
Well, the realization, I've been a prepper for 10 years, and I'm ex-military, too. I was in ex-military for 21 years. My wife gave me a hard time about being a tinfoil hat-wearing crazy person until this started, finally. She's not laughing too much at me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm sort of in the same boat.
There's the EBT cards that don't know what's going to happen. You guys mentioned fear. Fear makes people dangerous.
Yeah, I'm sort of in the same boat, Ken. I'm not a prepper, but I'm a semi-prepper and have taken a lot of ribbing about it. But, you know, the idea is we should all be prepared for at least a couple of weeks. Say the grid goes down. You don't have to have a full-on zombie apocalypse, but it makes sense to prepare for eventualities, because how many crises have we had in the last 20 years? Really big national-level, international-level crises, several.
Well, if you can talk to your neighbors, you can share resources. I'm not just talking about food. Some people have camping equipment. Some people carry medical equipment. It's not something you have to go out and buy everything for yourself. Plus, there's expertise. I'm retired military. I worked in the school system also, retired from that. But I live in a community that most of my neighbors are conservatives, and we're fairly secure, and we kind of keep an eye on each other's property. But I think the longer this goes on, and they're already talking about the two-month stint of people being secured in their homes, the more problems there's going to be. And people have been talking around the subject, but I see this coming. For me, it's pretty obvious.
Well, thank you for calling, Ken. I think we share your concerns. Dave, I don't know if you're a gun owner or have you taken steps to...
Yeah, I'm not a gun owner, which I think for me is probably a good thing. You know, and in terms of prepping, I know here in LA, I mean, we're all supposed to be prepped for an earthquake at any time, and most of us aren't, or most of us, I mean, I think I had an earthquake kit that was sitting in my garage for 25 years, and, you know, I think when the water gets moldy, it's time to change it. people haven't. I mean, I'm not prepped. We were not ready for this.
Your friend Joe Rogan could probably loan you a couple of firearms.
I think so. Yes, yes, Joe. He's well stocked. He could also get me a really good bow and arrow too.
That's right. We're going to go to Los Angeles. James on the wild card line. Hi, James. You're on with Dave Foley.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate the phone calls from the truckers, and my heart goes out to them. They're so valuable in America. Without them, everything shuts down as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. And what I'd like to address, though, is with regard to COVID-19 in Italy. Mr. Foley had mentioned it earlier in the program. You have to take that into context. I'm not trying to downplay what's happening here in the U.S. with COVID-19, but if you compare the numbers to how many people have died from the flu here and also in Italy, let's put it into perspective. What's happening in Italy, they have the oldest population in the EU, and from what I've heard, do quite a bit of research on this, the older population there who have been dying have actually been getting infected from younger relatives who have been visiting them. And if you look at the statistics, it's like 3,000 a few days ago who had passed away of COVID-19, which was tragic enough, but 20,000 in Italy had died of the flu. So to put it into perspective, the flu is still far more lethal. You have to put things in context and in perspective. And to have this whole country shut down for a virus that kills thousands less in relation to flu is just, really ridiculous. I seem to think there might be a darker agenda going on. But anyway, let me get back to the thrust of my call, and also what you'd mentioned at the beginning, Mr. Knapp, with regard to suspending the Bill of Rights with habeas corpus and all that, and shutting down Los Angeles, and I'm in my house in Los Angeles, of course, safer at home. But they didn't do that for the flu. That could kill thousands more. So like I said, I just hope there's not a darker agenda here. Because I did all. Well, let me just get to the thrust of why I initially called, which I talked to your screener about. But before I do that, please look up Gregory Mannarino. He's in Las Vegas as well, and his latest YouTube at his YouTube channel. And he basically said he found a document from the Federal Reserve, Jim Bullard, and they had a deliberate plan to crash the Federal Reserve and expect 30% unemployment. Please take a look at his latest video that he put up earlier tonight. Now let me get to the reason I'd called, the primary motivation, the primary reason.
Well, you're about out of time because you've gone on about this for a while.
This is very important, though.
I'm sure it is. I'm just telling you.
Huntington Memorial Hospital in Pasadena, the nurses are basically, there's about four or five of them. One of them is the daughter of a friend, and she said that the hospital is not spending money on masks. I don't know if they can't get them, if the supply is short, but she said they won't spend the money on the masks, and she said they won't spend the money on the test kits. And they've had people come in there with a fever, including one person who had died, and they weren't tested because the hospital does not want COVID-19 associated with their hospital because they think it'll be bad for business, and they're too cheap to buy the masks and the test kits. That's directly from the mother of one of the nurses who works in the ER at Huntington Memorial in Pasadena.
James, thank you for calling. Appreciate that. Dave, any thoughts on a lot that James shared with us there?
Well, the last part, I'm skeptical that a hospital would not buy protective gear for their staff or test kits because they wouldn't want to be branded as the COVID hospital. I think that better.
Maybe they're having a hard time getting them. Tell you what, we're going to come back to this. I mentioned earlier, going into the break, the song from Robbie Williams, Angels, mentioned that he had been scheduled to perform in Las Vegas, the beginning of a new residency, second year in a row. And Robbie had wanted to be here in Las Vegas, but of course the showroom closed, the hotel closed, the strip closed. He was in the UK and flew to Australia for what was supposed to be a concert in Melbourne. But by the time the plane arrived, the show had been canceled. So then he gets on a plane, flies back to the UK. And by the time he arrived back home in England, new rules had been enacted, and he was ordered, because he'd been abroad, he had to be isolated for 14 days. So he's been staying at a hotel separated from his family so he doesn't infect anybody. And like a lot of creative people, he's making the best use of the time. He's creating some art and performing online and connecting with his fans. And I think Dave Foley My co-host for this first half of the program tonight has been doing some of that as well. When we come back, I'm going to ask him about that. Then we go back to the phones with your calls and questions and comments about the virus and related issues here on Coast to Coast AM. Dave Foley, I mentioned over the break about Robbie Williams and a lot of other entertainers who are doing some really creative stuff online on social media to connect with their fans and with the public and kind of to help people calm down. You've been doing some of that. I've seen you on social media.
Yeah, well, I put out some messages on Twitter and on the Cameo app where people can sort of contact celebrities and get personalized messages, and on YouTube. And also, my brother-in-law, who's a great jazz musician, did a concert today. He hosted basically a jazz show from a number of different jazz musicians' homes who were all getting on Skype and calling in, and they put it all out. I guess not Skype, I guess it's Facebook. So they put it all out on Facebook. And I just saw who was it? We watched a little bit of John Legend doing broadcasting a concert from his home. And I know my wife and I were talking about trying to think of something we can do to try to entertain people.
I saw a husband and wife, or a boyfriend, girlfriend on Twitter. I don't know who they are, but they did something to the song A Horse With No Name, where you have to see it to believe it. I'm a hard time describing this, but they basically morphed into a horse. The wife put her hair down that looked like a horse's tail, and it's really funny. And people coming together like that and being creative to connect with fellow humans. We see so many stories about bad stuff, hoarding and crimes and robberies and things of that. That's going to happen. But also, you see a heck of a lot of inspirational stuff where the good side of humanity comes out.
Yeah, and I think one of the startling things for me is that is how little panic you see and how little fear, really. I mean, you know, in movies, the slightest thing seems to send people screaming into the street. But in real life, when things like this happen, when bad things happen, people seem to stay pretty calm and try to figure out how to muddle through it somehow.
You know, we had that caller, the last caller, who mentioned about thinking that the suspicion was the hospital was not buying masks and testing equipment, so they weren't branded a coronavirus hospital, which I can't imagine that there's any hospital that's going to avoid having those cases. But around the country, hospitals, like in New York in particular, I think in Boston, are having trouble getting masks and keeping the testing equipment.
Yeah, they're desperately trying to get them. They're reusing them. They're disinfecting masks. And these are disposable masks. They can't withstand a lot of disinfecting. They can probably get a few uses out of them. I don't think there's an evil overlord at hospitals that's trying. I mean, I think you'd much rather be known as one of the hospitals that helps people with the coronavirus, as opposed to being that hospital that let everybody die. That seems like bad branding.
Yes. Good point. We're going to go to another caller, Richie in West Virginia on the Wild Card line. Hi, Richie. What's going on?
How you doing? Good morning, gentlemen.
All right.
Good morning.
Hey, I'm a driver for the West Virginia Courtesy Patrol program here in the state of West Virginia. What we primarily do is we're a subcontract from the West Virginia Department of Highways, and we patrol all the major four lanes and interstates in the state of West Virginia for people and motorists that are stranded, and what we can do to help them get off the side of the road for their safety, and also help with EMTs if there's any accidents or anything like that on the four lanes. So, but it's just
what's going on out there?
What's that?
Are you encountering much traffic out there on the four lanes?
Not right now, no. Now, there's truck drivers out here that are driving through, and we do check on them in case they might need anything. Now, our protocol's kind of changed. We are no longer allowed to give any transport to anybody in the vehicle no more. Because the 6 feet away rule, we approach vehicles, we have to ask people to please stay in the vehicle. If they happen to step out, we got to keep 6 feet distance, keep conversation minimum. We have to go ahead, and we got, you know, disinfectant sprays and everything in the trucks to keep our vehicles clean. And anytime we get out of the vehicle, we are mandated to wash our hands with warm soap and water for at least 20 seconds and to keep our conversations minimum and at a distance. So we have our protocols in place here. It's just kind of sad that there's nothing we can do for people on the side of the road. they can, if they need something like water or something, I mean, we can run and get it for them and bring it back to them. But as far as that, the only thing we can do is sit there. And if they call for roadside service, I don't even know what the protocol is for roadside service right now. But I do know in the state of West Virginia, we only got right now that are 18, I think around 18 people who have tested positive for the coronavirus. And only a little over 400 has been tested. And that's mainly because they're having problems getting some of the tests. But I think that's going to be okay the next few weeks. And the case number could go up. Strangely, we had also went through a very strange flu season the month of December and January and February, but we had an unknown flu symptom, a flu virus here. And I don't want to be starting up conspiracy theories or nothing, but it was unknown. There's a state of emergency, and some schools and some businesses were shut down because of it, but they didn't know how to treat it, but we just got over that. So, I mean, I don't know what that was about. But in this area here, where I'm at, the southern region, it's more of country. So people are a little bit more far and few in between, unlike the city populations. So you're seeing these cases more in the heavily populated areas than what you're going to see in the further country part. But, you know,
I read that West Virginia was the last state in the country to have a positive case.
That's correct. We were the last one in the state in the country. And it could be that we probably built up some type of immunity, but I can't say that because I don't know the facts or information on that last few virus that came through. Right now, the roads are clear and abandoned right now during the daytime. There are businesses like restaurants that closed their dining area, drive-through still open. There are some 24-hour places still open, like rest areas, gas stations, and so forth. Most of the jobs is still everything going normal right now, to the time being, until the governor decides to make whatever action he needs to make. I do know that right now during the situation, it's what I see here is just 60% people taking this, you know, literally and taking the precautions, and 40% probably just throwing caution to the wind. I think most of the people here, majority, are complying with CDC and all the rules and regulations of law. I don't see anybody really panicking other than going a little bit overboard and buying supplies for the next 30 some days, you know, whatever they, especially the toilet paper situation. But I think that's a situation a little bit out of control, but they've been maintaining, they're keeping as much stuff that they can stock in the stores here.
Yeah.
They do run out of items quickly, but the next morning they do have them. So I know the truck drivers are out here. I see them out here frequently doing a great job, all these truck drivers.
I think it does seem weird. The one thing that consistently in Canada, yes, is the toilet paper thing. So, yeah. And I'm not a professional investment counselor, but I think when this is all over, investing in companies that make bidets.
Well, you know, I told people that if you're going to invest in something after learning this disaster, you know, possibly investing in any type of corporation that deals with toilet paper, I think you're going to be making some money off of it. Situations like this. But my dad lives in Lethbridge, Alberta, Canada, and so does my sister. So, my dad's Canadian citizen and my sister's Canadian, my brother too up there. And I have a sister that lives in Florida too. Right now, everything's okay with my family. So they're doing good and they're taking the protocols as necessary that they're being told to do. So, and my dad's 70 years old, so he has to be extra my dad's 79 years old. My mother's going to be turning 70, and she lives around the corner from me, which her building is an income base for elderly people, and they already quarantined, so I'm not allowed to go in to see my mother, which I had no problem with that because I'd rather her be safe than take a chance, you know.
Hey, Richie, thank you for filling us in on the situation in West Virginia. We appreciate that. And the courtesy patrol, that sounds like a great idea. Thanks for calling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Dave, I heard earlier the discussion about, and you see it in all the social media and discussing the flu. Well, it's not really much worse than the flu. We got 600,000 cases a year. And I think what, as it was explained to me, is 1% to 2% of the people who get the regular flu need to be hospitalized. With COVID-19, it's about 20%. For it to all come at one time, that's the fear, is that the medical system gets overwhelmed. So they're trying with the social distancing to separate it out. I don't know why that's so hard to get across, but that's pretty
interesting. And also there's the difference in how it transmits, and the COVID-19, they say that on average, if someone is infected, they will infect two other people, whereas with the regular flu, if someone is infected, they will likely infect one other person. So when you're infecting two other people, then you're starting an exponential growth, because it's two people and each infecting two people, you know, so you're looking at exponential spread as opposed to just a gradual spread. So
yeah, it's not a hoax. It's not exaggerated. The models that have been done these studies have been done all over the world. You know, governments around the world are dealing with this. It's not a plot.
If it's a conspiracy, who would benefit from this, and who is outside of the damage zone? I mean, I don't think this is a conspiracy. You don't need a conspiracy. Disease is a very powerful force on the planet, and always has been.
We're going to Dwayne in Colorado Springs. Hi, Dwayne. You're on with Dave Foley.
Hey, George, thank you for taking the call. I was watching YouTube earlier today, Prepper Nurse One, and he's in Danskill, New York, and he actually brought up the point that people were dressing up in hazmat suits or white suits, carrying clipboards, knocking on people's doors. Once they opened the door, they would go in and rob them. So I went ahead and called the sheriff's department, called the police department, called the chief of police, called Fox News here. Then I called a couple of police officers I have the phone number for, then called a couple of friends and basically asked them to, you know, be watching out for this stuff. And Fox News said they'll look into it and they'll put a PSA out. Well, I don't watch mainstream TV or news or anything like that. But one good thing about Coast to Coast is you reach a lot of people. So if anybody has not heard of this story, there are people in different cities, whatever. I know in New York it's actually happening. People are dressing up in hazmat suits or white suits.
I was going to say, did any of the people you called confirm that it's actually happening?
Actually, you can go to Prepper Nurse One, and actually, yes, I had confirmation from a police officer today that he's a Colorado Springs police officer. He said, yeah, I heard about that. We've been kind of letting everybody know around here. I said, okay. Mm-hmm. He said, well, just keep telling people, because we can only reach so many people. But one good thing is the coast-to-coast audience, you're talking millions of people, not just 100,000. So that's good. But Fox News had said that they were going to look into it and put a PSA out. But what kind of sycophant would actually do something like that? So to your coast-to-coast listeners, if anybody knocks on your door and they're wearing, quote-unquote, hazmat CDC suits, do not open the door, grab your shotgun, and dial 911, because CDC will not come to your house.
Thank you, Dwayne. Appreciate it. You know, Dave, we have had some confirmed cases of people pretending to be utility workers for the cable company and for the power company showing up at people's doors. So three or four of those cases here in the last 2 weeks, and then they break in and rob people. So I haven't heard the one about hazmat suits, but it has happened here.
I had heard that. Yeah, I had heard about that, people going around in hazmat suits and posing as CDC. I just wasn't sure if it was actually happening, because, if I were a criminal, that would make sense. but I don't have that kind of ambition. So, it is sad that there are always going to be people who will find a way to scam in a time like this.
Yeah. Try to get one more call in, at least. We're going to Texas. Christian in Texas on the wild card line. I was hoping that somebody would call in from Texas. Have heard that Texans have not quite taken this seriously yet, but Christian is here to tell us what the scene looks like there. Thanks.
Hey, George. I work with Amazon, and it's crazy how much product we're picking out to customers on a daily basis. I work at night, and we're doing 5 days a week. This week, they're giving us a raise. They're paying us double our hourly rate on our overtime day. And the only issue that I've seen is in the grocery stores where you, your primary items like meat, cheese, bread, the shelves are pretty empty with that. And also we've had a run on ammunition at stores that we call Academy. It's insane. But when it comes to Amazon, it's business as usual, which is
Amazon is hiring, right?
They were looking at hiring 100,000 new employees.
What they've done, though, is that they've bumped us up as far as a raise, and they've also given us this additional double pay on overtime day. And I think it's to keep more people there because people do not come in on occasion. They've given us days off all this month in case we're not feeling well. We can take off without question. And so, of course, people take advantage of that. But this new turnaround.
And you're working crazy hours, though, too, right? There people are piling
up. Yes, I am. I'm working 10 hours a night, 5 days a week now, this whole month. Not your usual schedule. But here's one thing I wanted to put out there. Why is it that nobody is talking about Tamiflu?
I'm going to guess it's because they haven't found any evidence that it's effective. There are some viral treatments that they're looking at. I know there's actually an article in Maclean's, which is a Canadian magazine, about a scientist who is working with something called quercetin, which is a plant-based ingredient that's in a lot of antiviral stuff, and they're actually going to start doing testing in Wuhan province with the Chinese Institute of Sciences.
That's funny.
Yes, and it's actually the doctor who's developed, is working on this, is his name is Chrétien, and he's the brother of the former Canadian Prime Minister, Jean Chrétien. Michel Chrétien is the scientist who's working with a sort of potential antiviral drug.
Hey, Christian, thank you for calling. Appreciate it. Dave, I want to say thanks for being here for these 2 hours. I really appreciate it. Kids in the Hall is in the works. What's going to happen? Where are we going to see that?
Well, it's going to be on Amazon Prime, assuming this ends so that we can actually do production. But right now we're writing all of the new sketches, and we're going to try and have eight episodes made by the end of the summer.
Awesome. I look forward to that. That was a great show and a great comedic effort. And thank you for being here. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you, George. Thanks for having me.
Sure will. And we got the links for Dave Foley's stuff if you want to try to get in contact with him on the Coast to Coast AM website. When we come back, UFOs over Africa. We go the other side of the world.